Good evening.
Good evening.
This evening, for a few moments, I want us to talk about God's expectation, His desire as to how He wants His children to live, especially and particularly in regard to our relationship with others. That's kind of the focus of our study tonight. Even in, I believe, Exodus chapter 20, we have a record of the giving of the Ten Commandments. And as you look at those Ten Commandments, you're going to find that the last six involve man's relationship with his fellow man. Those six commandments, you have honor your father and mother. You have do not murder, commit adultery, steal, bear false witness, and also do not covet. Again, these are relationship principles, how we relate and interact with other people. And what was true of what God said to His children and under the Ten Commandments was also applied by the Apostle Paul to the Christian age in Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13 and in verse 9, as he's writing there to the church in Rome, he said, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, all are summed up in this saying, that you love your neighbor as yourself." Again, that's Romans chapter 13 and in verse 9. Jesus, he had silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees would get together, and one of them, a lawyer, would ask Jesus the question, in Matthew chapter 22 verses 34 through 40. He would say, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." But notice what he said. He said the second greatest commandment of all time involves our neighbor, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. So again, you have so much teaching in regard to how God wants His children to interact with children in the world. Our relationship with others. And not only that, but our relationship with one another. Just in general, how we should relate to friends and family and foes alike. When we examine the teaching of Christ, you'll note such words as others, one another, and men. It's just it is so powerful within His teaching. You'll find that in our Lord's great Sermon on the Mount, it's filled with teaching in regard to those things that will impact our relationship with others. Think back before I go any further there in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 36, or through 46, Jesus is presenting to us the judgment scene. And when He's presenting the judgment scene there in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, He involves the use of situations involving others, feeding the hungry, giving the drink to the thirsty, caring for the stranger, clothing the naked, visiting the sick and those in prison. From the beginning in our great Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapter 5 through 7 and all throughout His earthly ministry, He is emphasizing, He is stressing God's expectation of how His children interact with others, whether they're in Christ or not. But in that great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave us a principle which, if applied, would bring about a drastic change, a positive change in the world in which we live. And it's recorded in Matthew 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus said, and Matthew through inspiration records, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Well, I read that, you immediately think, well, that's the golden rule. No, nowhere in text does it say that's the golden rule, but that's what we refer to it as the golden rule. And why? Because it can bring about such a drastic change. It can bring about such a positive change in the world in which we live. Our lesson tonight is entitled, Are We Living By the Golden Rule? And that's what we want to give focus to for a few moments. There is an obligation. There is an obligation involved in the golden rule. Let all your dealings with men be conducted in the same spirit in which you desire them to deal with you. There is a responsibility in the golden rule. The golden rule does, it says do. So that requires action on my part. It's not a reaction based upon what others have done to me or said about me, but it's something that I do, something that I initiate, whether in word or deed, to bring about a desired reaction from other people. So there's a sense of responsibility in the golden rule, something that I do. And the responsibility, kind of along the lines of obligation, is placed squarely on my shoulders. And of course, that's spoken of as the individual himself. What are some of these obligations? Well, obviously, if we're going to be living by the golden rule, there is the obligation of love. There is the obligation of mercy, without which we will not be saved. James chapter 2 and in verse 13 says, mercy triumphs over judgment. And so necessity is, we depend on God's mercy. In order to be recipient of God's mercy, we had to be willing and ready to extend mercy. And so there is an obligation in the golden rule, the obligation of mercy. There is the obligation of kindness. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 32, the Apostle Paul pens through inspiration, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, or rather as God in Christ, forgave you. Think about our actions this past week, our words this past week. And think about those situations wherein spoke or there was action on your part. And ask yourself, was it kind? You know, sometimes we get into a situation where there's a lot of burdens, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of tasks, and we allow those things to fester and to make our impression to others as being unkind. Well, that is contrary to the golden rule. The golden rule says these obligations of love and mercy and kindness, these are essential. No matter what we're facing, no matter who we're dealing with, we have an obligation to be kind. Even when we're dealing with discipline, or even when we're having to be somewhat critical, we don't have to be nasty. We don't have to be ugly. We have an obligation to be kind. There's an obligation of humility. You know, I'm confident that there's probably not many of us here, if any at all, who truly enjoy to be around those who are proud, those who are haughty, those who are arrogant. You know, it is not a true pleasure to be around those who think they know it all. And those that have that mentality and they come across that way, obviously, an ounce of that is about all you want to put in the recipe. You know, you don't want to deal with that very often. And if that's someone that we wouldn't want to associate with, then we got to look at the mirror and make sure that we're not that way as well. There's an obligation of being willing to extend forgiveness, and of course, without extending forgiveness, we can't be recipients of forgiveness. As God has told us time and time again in Scripture. But forgiveness includes the necessity of repentance. We know that. In fact, God cannot extend forgiveness unless we first unless we first repent. Scripture is abounding in that teaching. Luke 17 verses 3 and 4, for example. But forgiveness requires two things. It requires, number one, the offender desiring it, and then the offended giving it. So forgiveness is really a two-part involvement there, a two-part action. Now, if Jesus on the cross could pray, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, certainly in relation to what he was facing then by those at that time, it cannot even begin to compare to some of the petty, insignificant offenses that we are dealt. And if Jesus could pray on the cross, Father, forgive them, certainly we should have and work toward having that same attitude as well. We're going to be offended. We're going to be made upset by somebody saying something or somebody doing something. But our attitude needs to be like Christ. Willing and ready to forgive. And that's easier when what? When we're living by the golden rule. I think we need to focus on that more than we've done in the past. And we need to put more emphasis on that as we live in the present and move into the future. But the golden rule that's set forth by Christ, it's really in contrast to a lot of the rules by which society lives. And these aren't anything that you could probably look up, but some things that I've kind of jotted together and put together over the years. Some of the rules of society, you have the Vandal rule. The Vandal rule is really of no profit to anyone. It just finds satisfaction in creating misery in others. There are just those people who, no matter what, they just like to inflict misery. They like for you to feel horrible, and they take great delight in making others feel miserable. There is the pleasure rule, which leads others down a pathway, the pleasures of sin, which, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, is but for a season. But with many, and so many individuals, especially today, are caught in that pleasure rule, if you will. And many individuals are going to lose their soul because they're caught up in the pleasure rule, not for a season, for their entire life. There's the iron rule. It's followed by those who get what they want because of their might. And that's not just physical strength. That could be money, political power, social status. And a lot of time these things are abused in order to demonstrate the iron rule, to get what you want because of might. There's the it's legal rule. It's applied by those who stay within the law but show no mercy. We've all heard something similar to the fact that it's legal, so that it means it's okay. Well, Acts chapter 5 and verse 29 says that we answer to a higher authority. We ought to obey God rather than man. There is the number 5, a non-involvement rule, and that's a very prevalent rule in society, as it is demonstrated by the Levite and the priest there in Luke chapter 10. We know this type. This is the type that is an individual that is so wrapped up in their own lives that they just put on their blinders and they trudge away. They just keep moving forward. And the idea is, what, no matter what you do, don't show interest in anyone but yourself. This is the looking out for the number one philosophy. And we see that time and time again. There's the brass rule. The brass rule would suggest that we do unto others just as they do unto us. That's simply the reacting rule. That's the reacting based on others' actions rather than initiating action to bring about a desired reaction. Brass rule is just a reaction. And some would maybe take it a step further, not only to not do unto others as they do unto you, but to do unto others before they do to you. A lot of times we see that. What a distortion of the golden rule. There's the silver rule. That sounds pretty close, right? The silver rule is a live and let live philosophy. It's a negative rule in that it would not hurt anyone, but at the same time, it doesn't do any good either. What is it? Do not do unto others what you would not want them to do to you. So it's a passive rule. We're simply not going to do anything. I'm not going to do you any harm, but I'm not going to do you any good. You know what? That's a majority in society today. That's the mentality that people have. But let's go back to some of the golden rule. If the golden rule was actually applied, if the golden rule was actually implemented in different areas of our life, notice the difference that it would make. Just think about it. Some things that I just threw down. Number one, in my opinion, divorce court, that little program that we see on TV from time to time, would be canceled. Divorce court would be canceled because God has told men how they are to treat their wives, and God has told wives how they are to treat their husbands. If we would apply the golden rule to how we treat one another as a married couple, divorce court would be canceled. If the golden rule were followed, then child abuse and parental abuse would be obsolete ideas. We would do as God would instruct us to do. If the golden rule were followed, jail, electric chairs, locks on doors, bars on windows, these things would be unnecessary. If the golden rule were followed, arguments and hurt feelings and frustration, that would seldom be an issue. If the golden rule were followed, friendships would remain solid instead of broken by gossip. If the golden rule were followed, there would be more unfaithful church members being restored and fewer just written off. If the golden rule were followed, the number of people being taught the truth would increase. These are just some of the areas in which if we applied the golden rule to these areas of life, think about what kind of difference it would make. Bring about a drastic change, a positive change. And any number of everyday situations could be added to that list. But consider ways by which the golden rule is broken. And I would say first and foremost, the golden rule is broken by a simple matter of neglect. The simple matter of neglect. You think about parents neglecting their children because of many other things. These things that truly in the whole scheme of things are unimportant. They're insignificant. But parents will neglect their children because of these other things that take place of priority, the place that children should take. But grandparents have neglected their children, and so now their children are neglecting their children, and it just goes down from generation to generation. We are the product of our raising in many respects. But if there was any neglect in the past and even into the present, it doesn't need to move into the future. Corrections and improvement needs to happen. But children also neglect their parents. Children neglect their parents because they're too busy, because they're wrapped up in their own interests and their own likes and their own wants. But young people think, what would you do without your parents? What would you do without your parents? Don't neglect them. Don't get wrapped up so much in your life that you neglect them. Take the time, make the time to spend a little bit of time with them, because one day they'll be gone and the opportunities will be exhausted, and you don't want to be filled with regret. Parents neglect their children. Children neglect their parents. This is one way in which the golden rule is broken. The golden rule is broken when we neglect to see the needs of others. You can't help but to come to services and see all the cars going back and forth, one direction and the other. These individuals the majority of them are leading a path that's going to lead to destruction. And it ought to just break our hearts. We see the assembly and how grateful and thankful we are for the presence of each and every one here. But there are a lot of empty seats. Empty seats that should be filled. Empty seats that can be filled, because there are all sorts of people just outside the doors of this building that need to hear the truth. And so we need to be able to see their needs and satisfy their needs. And man, we just don't want to hear the words of a friend, a family, a neighbor to say to us that day, "You never mentioned him to me." Extend the invitation. Do whatever you need to do to make sure that that statement doesn't come back to haunt us eternally. The golden rule is broken when we ignore others, when we think that we are better than others. There was someone who said, "There was a man who thought he was better than me, and he was, until he thought he was." You know, how many times do we have individuals that ignore people because they're beneath us? We're at this level, they're at that level. Brethren and friends, we need serious lessons on humility if we're thinking that we're better than anyone. At the foot of the cross, we are all standing on level ground. No matter what position you have, no matter what gender you might be, we're on level ground at the foot of the cross. The golden rule is broken by sarcastic remarks with sharp words. You know, when these words, when they escape the lips, you can't bring them back. How many words are spoken and regretted the very moment they escape our lips? But a lot of times it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. There's a lot of times where the intention is good, but it's spoken in a tone that brings it in a negative light. There's facial expressions that bring it into a negative light. So when it comes to remarks, make sure that we've thought about it. Make sure that we're expressing it in the right way, and that our facial expression is in accordance with what it is that we want to say. But you think along those lines, that golden rule is broken with gossip and slander. So much, if we just think about what we say before we say it, and think about what might happen, what reaction might happen if I make this statement. You know, if we would just go through that practice, a lot of heartache would be eliminated. Because if I think to myself, if I say this, the only response that they're going to give is going to be negative. Or if I say this, the only response that I can see is it'll be something positive. It moves us in different directions. So engage the brain before we engage the mouth. Think things through before we open our mouth. And don't take comfort. Don't take comfort in the fault of others. The golden rule, when you think about it, how many times do you hear people say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me"? That's a lie. That's a lie. It's an absolute contradiction to the golden rule. We need to guard our lips. But when we break the golden rule, we need to ask ourselves why. How does this happen? And you know how it happens? It happens because of our own sins. When it boils down to it, we break the golden rule. Why? Because of our own sins. It causes us to treat people as we do Some people, as we said just a moment ago, they take comfort in finding faults with others. You heard it said, at least I don't do what so-and-so did. Or, you know what, so-and-so did it, and even worse. What good is it to compare yourself with individuals who may or may not be heavenward bound? I'm not interested in comparing myself with you, and I'm hoping you're not interested with necessarily comparing yourself to me. All that we need to focus on is comparing ourselves to Christ. We want to speak as He spoke. We want to do as He did. We want to step in His steps. Because you know what? If we're following in His steps, we're going to be where He is. We're going to be in heaven above. Perhaps the bottom line is, when it comes to the golden rule, we talked about a while ago, obligation, responsibility, and there's the obligation of love. When it comes to the golden rule, why we break it, it really boils down to a lack of love. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." That's not new. But here's the new part in my estimation: "As I have loved you, that you love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." As we draw to a close tonight, brother, I'm hoping and I'm praying that some things have been said and that stirs us and moves us to wanting to make better decisions, make better choices, become better Christians. No matter the situation that we find ourselves, the circumstance we find ourselves, probably nothing could go farther in changing life in general for the better than for us to live by the golden rule. Live by the golden rule. Consider our own lives as a preacher, an elder, a deacon, a teacher, a member, a companion, a neighbor, whatever your role in life is, how it could be improved simply by living by the golden rule. If we walk out of here and we say there's nothing in any area of my life in which cannot be improved, look again. Because even in the best of lives, there's room for improvement. There's always room to improve. And the best thing that we can do for ourselves, the best thing we can do for our family, our friends, our job, school, we got individuals going off to college. The best thing you can do, the best thing you can do for the world is to be a faithful child of the living God. You want to be surrounded by righteous, good influences. That means that you have to be a good, righteous influence. So why not make the choice to live for Christ, go to heaven, and take as many with us as possible? May that be our focus. May that be our motto. Are we living by the golden rule? This time we have the opportunity to extend the invitation to those in this assembly. And brethren and friends, if you have a need of any kind, this is an opportunity that was not promised to us, but yet at this very moment is granted to us. An opportunity to be made right in the sight of the living God. If there are those here this morning who have not yet put on Christ in baptism, but you are ready to become a Christian, a child of the living God, and you are desiring that blessed hope of heaven, a hope that you did not have coming in, but a hope that you can have going out, then why not put on Christ in baptism this evening? If you're God's child but you strayed from the faith, you can repent, confess, and be restored. I've said it before, I'll say it again, that so long as you have breath in your lungs and so long as you are walking, you have opportunity. And opportunity means that you can make decisions to be right and ready for our Lord's return. Please make that decision before it's everlasting too late. If you have a need of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.